Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast today. I hope you enjoy it. But first, I want to ask you a question. Are you someone who has high upside potential in your business, and yet sometimes that goal is just hard to get to, and maybe the only way you've seen to get to it is just to make more calls, you know, work harder? Well, if you're fed up with using old strategies to solve new problems, then I might have a solution. It's my 5-day Million Dollar Seller Challenge. We meet 1 hour a day in a coaching intensive where I will teach you 5 moves that you can make to scale your results without working harder. To learn more, click the link in the show notes or go to milliondollarsellerchallenge.com.
Welcome to the 2X Podcast. Here's your host, Bill Caskey.
Hey, 2Xers, Bill Caskey here, back for another episode. Hey, before we get going today, I want to thank the people at FeedSpot. You can go to feedspot.com. They announced their list of the top 15 sales podcasts. They're really good at taking all the different content that's out there and looking at the best of. And my two podcasts, the Advanced Selling Podcast that I do with Brian Neal, was ranked the number one sales podcast. We appreciate that. And the 2X Podcast, this one, was number 9. So I appreciate it. And I didn't even know who these people were. It looks like we paid to be on the list. I promise you we didn't. But go to feedspot.com or just search on Google Best Sales Podcasts FeedSpot, and it'll take you right to the page. And there's good ones on there. And I urge you to listen to those. They're all good. And anything you can do, we're going to be talking later in this podcast about personal growth. I think it would be helpful. Got something today. I want to step back a little bit. You know, sometimes on this podcast, we get into some really core, gory details about how to think, how to act. And I want to continue that because I think that's really vital that we don't get too high-minded and don't get too out there in the ethers, but keep it real, keep it on the ground. But today I want to get back to the basics of what do we need to be good at? You know, Daniel Pink, when he talks about motivation, he has a TED talk on motivation that if you are managing people, well, it doesn't matter. I don't care if you're managing people or not. You need to watch it. It's really good because he addresses there this myth of motivation, how money is supposed to motivate us and incentives and prizes. And it can temporarily, but there are 3 or 4 things that are much more important. One of those is competency. Competency or skill building or being good at something is very motivating. I just take golf, for example. I probably could be a pretty good golfer. I've got good eye-hand coordination. I've got some of the basics. I'm tall. I've got good flexibility, but I'm a terrible golfer. And so when someone asks me to play golf, I feel like, it'd be kind of fun, but geez, I embarrass myself. It's a long day, 4 or 5 hours. By the 12th hole, I'm ready to dial it back and call it a day. But if I were good at golf, if I were competent, I would probably look for places to play. Just like in basketball, if you're a good free throw shooter, you look for a way to get to the line to shoot free throws. If you're not, you avoid it at all costs because it's too painful. So competency or skill in sales today, I think, is really important. And it's important that we look at, well, how has it changed? What is it today? And I don't want to get into it used to be 40 years ago and 30 years ago. What is it today? So I'm going to give you 7 things that I think the sales professional of the future needs to be competent, skilled, excellent at if they want to be extremely successful. I'm not just talking about earning, you know, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a year. That's fine. But I'm talking about if you want to get into the 6 figures, the $150,000, $200,000, $500,000, $1 million a year, which is not, I've got a couple clients doing that, and they're no more special. They're just good at these 7 things. So if you'll go to the show notes, I've got a freebie that goes along with these where you can rate yourself too. So these 7 have come as a result of a lot of work that I've done. When I look at all the curriculum that I've written over the last 25 years and the stuff that makes the most difference, the stuff that moves the needle, it's the old 80-20 rule. I know you've heard me talk about it, but it's so vital that, you know, I've developed hundreds, if not thousands, of pieces of curriculum, but not all are made the same. Some have real impact, some have no impact. And so I've taken the 7 areas that I think can make the most difference, and I want to go through these really quickly. Area number 1, personal growth. Now, this is, you might think, well, isn't this all personal growth? I look at personal growth as mental states and relaxation and taking care of yourself, not just physically, but also mentally and emotionally? Are you reading? Are you putting good things in your brain, or are you putting brainless and mindless things into your brain? How are you with your consciousness of life and with your relationships and those kinds of things? So I would consider that personal growth. And I don't think professional growth happens without personal growth. This idea that somehow, well, no, how I am at home is very different than how I am at business. And they're two very different things. I got news for you. If you're struggling in your personal life, which it's not unusual, we all do from time to time. Some of us make a career out of struggling in our personal life. Some of us, it's just episodic, but we all have it. I guarantee you, when you are struggling in your personal life, you're not as effective in your work life. You may think you are. Actually, you may work harder because you're trying to get away from your personal stuff. That may make you a little bit more successful. But from a creative standpoint, you're just not. So personal growth are all those things that are non-business in how you see them, but they're very relevant in terms of business success. Number two, customer interaction, the competency of how you engage with people. Because at some point, whether you're on the phone, email, webinar, there's a customer engagement. And I'm not just talking about when you're one-to-one with person. That is a customer engagement or customer interaction. But I'm talking about across the entire spectrum. How skilled are you at engaging and interacting with people who might buy from you? Or they might be strategic partners. And there's a whole level of communication that we can get into a little bit later. But I just want you to rate yourself. How good are you at customer interaction? I know we'll all give ourselves a 10 if nobody looks, but be honest with yourself. If the results aren't where you need them to be in your territory, in your business, in your company, and I don't care whether you're a CEO or VP of sales or what role you play, if the results are not where you want them to be, you probably got a problem here, since the essence of sales and business development is customer interaction. So take a look at that and rate yourself. Number three, managing your business. And I would say that this is managing the affairs of your business. The relationships that are inside your company, are you nurturing and nourishing those? If you're the CEO, do you really care about your VP level people? Are you understanding what they're going through in their business or in their life or in their fitness goals? Or do you know even what their goals are? So if you're blindsided sometimes by somebody leaving your company and you said, geez, I didn't see that coming. Well, if you'd have been closer to them, you might have seen it coming. This also has to do with how you produce results, your time, how you manage your time, how you prioritize your time, your technology tools. How do you use Evernote, Dropbox, Google Docs, or Google Drive? How do you use all these tools that are available to you? Do you use them in the best possible way? So that's what I call managing your business affairs. And it has nothing to do with customer interaction or mindset. It's just how do you orchestrate and organize your brain so that you can do business. The fourth one is goal setting and planning. And this goal setting and planning thing is really, it's bewildering to me, and yet I know exactly why it's bewildering, and I know why it doesn't happen. I don't see people setting nearly enough goals. And I don't mean quantity, I mean any. So if I were to make a phone call to 100 random salespeople today, that I didn't know and they didn't know me. They were, maybe they were podcast listeners, maybe they're not, doesn't matter. And I would say, hey, I understand you're really good at what you do. Send me your annual and quarterly goals that you have written out. Send them to me. I'd like to see them because I think there's some secrets to success here. I would suggest that only 20% of the 100 would be able to send me something that was documented. Now, they might send me a forecast for the year, but that's not a goal. That's not a plan. So the question I have for you is, do you have a one-year plan, a 12-week plan, a 30-day plan, a one-week plan? I mean, you can, you know, I don't want you to be obsessed about it, but if you have no one-year plan or one-year vision or whatever you want to call it, then chances are you probably don't have a 12-week plan and you don't have a 30-day plan. And then what you have is you have a daily plan. But the question I always ask people is your daily behavior getting you anywhere? or is it just daily behavior? So goal setting and planning, they are intricately linked. I know we talk about goal setting very differently than we talk about goal planning and achievement planning and work planning, but I think they're part of the same element. So how do you do at that? Do you have a one-year goal and one-year plan? Do you have it laid out, marked out, maybe visually designed? Maybe it's bullet points on a doc. How much time do you spend updating that, looking at that, referencing that? Because the one-year plan should be on your desk when you're doing your one-week or 30-day plan. Because if it's not, you'll forget some of your goals. And I know we say, oh, no, Bill, I'll never forget my goals. Yes, we do. We forget them out of sight, out of mind. And then we plan our week and we never get to our annual goals because it never makes it into the weekly plan. So goal setting and planning is huge. How do you do at that? Number five is anything that has to do with business development, prospecting, customer acquisition. And again, I'm assuming here that if you're a CEO, president, VP, sales manager, salesperson, that is on your mind in some way. If you're a sales frontline sales professional, then it's on your mind every day. Is how am I doing? How skilled am I at taking my territory and growing it by the acquisition of new business? If you're a VP of sales or owner, you better be thinking about what's our marketing funnel look like? Not our sales funnel, not how much is in the sales funnel, but how do we take somebody from they don't know who we are or they know just a little bit about us to client? And if you don't have a pictured process there, we've talked about this on the 2X podcast before, you need one. Because your sales teams won't do that. That's not the way they think. They think one-to-one, you've got to think one-to-many. You've got to think sequence, system, process, procedure. How are we going to take somebody from, again, not know, maybe they know us, but they don't think they need us, to they got to have us? And your people going in, pitching and presenting is not the way to do that. It's a marketing funnel. So get familiar with that. Go back into the 2X podcast on BillCaskey.com, put in marketing funnel, and there's at least one episode I've done here in the last 3 or 4 months on that. The sales professional of today needs to be competent, skilled, and a master at generating new business. If you are waiting for the phone to ring, or you're in a sales team, or maybe you have a sales team where they are waiting for the inbound web leads, that's fine. There's a skill there too. But if you are responsible for acquiring new business, then you have to be good and skilled at all the sub-elements of it, one of which might be referrals, one of it might be cold, one of it might be marketing funnels. It could also be strategic partners. I mean, there's a lot of skills underneath business development. But as a category, as a major category, that is definitely one. Here's number six. Oh, I love this one. This is one of my favorite things to teach today. And I almost feel like this is the way training of the future should be done. Not with theoretical, high-minded, conceptual training where we take these big ideas and we break them down and we discuss them. I call this number six, scenario training. It's in the field. Where do you get stuck? What's occurring right now in the market that is causing you to be stuck? So for example, one of the most common things I hear is can't get to the right person. The right person is always elusive and I can't get to them. And it feels like I'm calling too low in an organization. Well, that's a very specific scenario that you've got to get good at. You've got to get past. And there are probably, I find there are 20 to 25 scenarios in sales today that you just have to get better at. And if you do, you will sail through the market and things will just become easy for you. But if you never write down what are those 20 to 25, then you never seek help and you never get better at them. And they haunt you your entire sales career. One of my biggest challenges when I first started was I was afraid to talk about money. I just was. I don't know why. I don't know where it came from. It was just in my psyche, and it would get to the money step, and I would get all flustered, and I just avoid it until I mailed them the quote, and then they'd say, oh, that's more than I thought it was going to be. And I always got flustered right there. Once I learned how to bring it up and talk about it and do it in a way that was pleasant and comfortable and elegant and effective, then I didn't have any trouble with it anymore. Most of these can be mechanical, some are mental, some you have to have the right mindset. There's a mindset component to all this, of course, but just write down the 20 to 25. Number seven, I don't know, you know, at some point you always say, well, this is one of the most important. They're all important. That's why I just picked seven instead of 70, 77. But messaging is number seven. Messaging. How do you message your value? How do you story it out? What kinds of personal stories do you have that will relate to the customer and what they're going through? And how do you bond with somebody through messaging? What is your core message? That's really the essence of this. And I find that most of us are pretty bad at messaging. And I don't know whether it's we just don't spend enough time on it. Sales leaders, CEOs, get time on your calendar for messaging. And make sure the messaging that you're teaching is not how great you are. That doesn't matter to prospects. Make sure you are crafting your message in relation to the pains and problems they have and what their circumstances are, what kind of life experiences, what are they going through in their company. If you're calling on dentists, then write down the 10 things that dentists are struggling with right now. Forget about your equipment. I don't care about your equipment or your supplies or whatever you're selling them. I'm more interested in their life, where they are. We always say that you have to meet people where they are. Well, if you don't know where they are, how in the hell are you going to meet people anywhere close to where they are? So you have to understand, what are the challenges of being a dentist today, just using our example? What are the circumstances they find themselves in? Are they struggling to find good people? Are they losing good people? Is the workflow always a challenge? Is insurance, I know dentists probably not insurance, but is payment? What are all the challenge and issues? And get very clear at understanding that. Then you can see whether your product or solution has any merit in helping him solve those things or her solve those. So I just feel like we always jump to how great we are and how great our products are. And it's exactly the wrong, it's misguided. That's why your messaging is awful, because you're focused on you. Your message needs to focus on how is my product or solution going to help the customer live a better life, have a better business life, make money, save money, earn money, whatever. So messaging is critical, but it's got to be done right. So I hope these seven are useful to you. And once again, download the freebie. Just look in the description in the show notes here, and there'll be a link to that. And take a little test. Follow along. I put a couple of sentences next to each one just to remind you. You might even look at that and say, okay, I'm heading into 2019 here in a couple months. I need to get freaking better at this. I need to get better at these seven things. Make a commitment. I find that people who make the commitment, they're the ones that grow. If you just say, you know what, yeah, it'd be nice, but you know, I'm kind of doing my own thing and I'm pretty happy with where I am. And yeah, you're happy with where you are today until the world catches up to you. And then in 5 years, you're not happy. And now they've got a 5-year head start on you. That has happened to so many people I know. They never looked at their own personal growth, and now their skills are outdated. And they're 50 years old or 55 years old, and they got laid off and they can't get work. Or they get menial work. They get work that's way beneath them. Why? Because they never worked on themselves. They never went to class. They never took webinars. They never listened to podcasts like this. They never invested in themselves. They never pulled 10 grand out of their pocket to invest in coaching or seminars or psychology courses or communication courses at local college, whatever. They never did it. And I know why they didn't do it. They were too busy, didn't have the time, didn't have the money. And now it's a big problem, because now when you wake up and you're 50 years old or 55 or 60 and you still need to work, but you can't work because you don't have the good skills, that's your problem. So better to do it when you're in your 20s and 30s. Just get into a cadence of constant improvement, constant looking at these things. I've given you seven. There's probably more, but start here. I think it'll help you. Bye.
You've been listening to the 2X Podcast. If you'd like to contact Bill, email him at bill@billkaske.com or follow him on Twitter @BillKaske.